Oh, I'm loving that. That's a great welcome. Thank you so much. I'm going to get straight into it. Do you know why? Because, wow, the Holy Spirit's here today. Oh, you know, I love it when we're praising and worshiping, and you can just let go. You can just release everything and know that the Holy Spirit is there. His presence is upon you, and it's really, really excited. And if you're not excited, I'm excited enough for you. It's going to be great. So I want to start straight away by reading. And I'm not going to put it in my Bible because I picked a different version. And then I went through all my Bibles and went, oh, I haven't gotten that one. So I typed it out. Here we go. It's Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Jesus, founder and perfecter of our faith. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It carries on. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, Jesus, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. I love scripture. Do you know, I love prepping. And I'm sorry I'm deviating. I love prepping for sermons. I absolutely love it. Do you know why? I just get to go a little bit deeper. You know, I'm one of those miners usually, and I'm beyond 3Ks. I'm right in there, and when I'm prepping, just these nuggets, it's so excited. I'm back on board. I love the Bible, though. I'm also a very passionate dad who loves his kids, but I have faults. I have a competitive streak in me, and I hate to be beaten. I no longer play game consoles with my son because I know I will take a thrashing. What's worse is when I do actually succumb to his emotional blackmail and I do play with Ethan, he purposely now doesn't thrash me. He lays off. He goes easy on me just so I won't cry. And can I tell you, it's even worse. That is the worst, it's the pit. But my daughter Cheyenne, she doesn't have that competitive streak. In fact, she's anti-competitive, which is great, and her mum loves her. But obviously, I have natural issues with that, and here's the reason. Cheyenne, my beautiful daughter, is a naturally gifted runner. She does not have an ounce of fat on her body. She's hyperactive, and she only stops when we force her to stop. And then she falls to sleep. And then she wakes up and we start all over again. She's very strange and weird in that. I say, do you want a Tim Tam? And she goes, no, thank you. Tim Tams, come on, eat a Tim Tam. No, thank you. So surely, she would by now, I mean she's 8, she would have a room full of medals and trophies. No. And the reason for that is she's got a bit of a dad in her, the good bit. She has a love for people, an absolute love for people. She needs to help people. She's wired to love people. And over the last 3 years, she has come second to last on every cross-country race. It's killing me. She literally stops. She stops running and goes, oh, have you grazed your knee? Let me help you to the finish line. She's lapped children and then gone, oh, bless you. Are you sad? Let me help you to the finish line. Those sad poor little athletes. So last year, I prayed. And I said, no more, no more, Cheyenne, no more. And I convinced her that if she actually loved me, don't stop that, she would run like the wind, like a wild stallion she would run. She would look at other people as though they were germ-infested, and she would not touch them, not breathe on them, not speak to them. She would run until she crossed the line. Then she would love everybody. And she went, for you, Dad, anything. And she ran like the wind. She hit the tape, and she came first. And I was doing this little dance. And I was like that, in your face, Dad's in your face. My daughter. Now you can stop your mumbling. I know I'm a bad dad. I know. But there is more to this story. A month later, the school went, boing, amazing girl. Let's put her in the inter-school competition. So off we went. I took the day off. I was in my tracksuit with my megaphone. Come on, Sean! We'd pumped her full of Gatorade. She was ready. I'd stretched out. I was one of those Nazis that was stretching her back off. You'll be right, love. And off she ran. Whew. At the halfway mark, I was there, practically running with her. No, not really. I saw her from a distance. And she was third. She was in the leader's pack, and she was running. Great. I loved her stride. I knew all the rest of them were in trouble because she waved at me. Hi, Dad. Concentrate. And off she ran. And then she disappeared into the woods. And I'm stood there going, just 5 minutes' time, she will leave the woods, victorious, flames behind her. No, it didn't happen. So what happened was the first little darling athlete came running out, and she ran the last 100 meters. We all clapped, and she crossed the line. And then the next 40 children, oh, tortured me. In fact, they all waved at me. And all the dads were waving too. And I panicked, because I'm a competitive man first. No, I'm a dad first. And I'm like, where's Cheyenne? So there was 100 meters. I was at the finish line, 100 meters. I am running. It's not a sight you want to see. I'm running to the, and as I get to the edge of the wood, I see Cheyenne. And she was red-faced. She was in pain. I'm emotional. She had a massive stitch, and she was holding her sides in agony, but she was still running. And she was running like this, and I was, what do I do? So I was screaming at her, come on, you can do it. And she hit the 100 meters, and everyone, I swear, everyone, great kids, I love them all, even the ones that beat her, they lined up and they were going, come on! And it was the most exciting, powerful thing ever. And she held her ribs, and she was still crying, and she ran to the end. And she hit the tape, and then she just broke down. Collapsed, broke down. It was devastating. Devastating. But I was the proudest dad there. She won. She won in my eyes. She won. And today, I want to bring a message titled, Hitting the Tape. The Christian life is a long, grueling race. It's not run on perfect tracks in perfect conditions. It's not staged so we get great backwinds. It doesn't have sacrificial pacemakers to get us to a point where we're going to break a world record. None of that. In fact, it's hilly. The ground conditions change. They're hard one minute, they're muddy the next. It's sunny one minute, it's snowing the next. It's tough. To make it to the end, you need self-discipline. to get into good shape, you need to maintain your motivation. You need sustained effort. No one enters a marathon with the thought of dropping out after just a mile. For a marathon runner, finishing is everything. In our race, this race we're all running together, you're not competing with other believers. We're actually all on the same team. We're running our own race, but we are on the same team. We're competing against the enemy of our souls, the one who opposes God's kingdom and wants us to drop out. The one who will celebrate a victory if we don't finish. I don't want to give him that. I'm here to bring God's word today to ensure that you're equipped with the basics to finish. And not just finish well. And I've got four points to help us do that. It's not the be-all and end-all, but they're four great points. In fact, I've compiled a mini personal audit, because I'm an auditor. And it's designed to get you thinking. I obviously don't want you to shout out your answers, and I'm sure you don't want to shout your answers out. But our answers are going to be different. What I do want to do is just stimulate some thought today. Today I just want to get your little cogs going, because that's the noise they make, and give you some biblical principles to help you make sense of it all. Anyone excited? Yeah. Anyone want to do this with me? So question one, what are you wearing? Yeah, what are you wearing? Whatever race you're in, whatever job or task you need to do, you need to dress accordingly. If I'm going for a run, and just to throw this in there, in 18 months' time, I will compete in a triathlon. That is my goal. I've set myself 18 months. I've got a trainer. She shouts more than I like, but I'm going to do it. So when I go for a run, I need to put on my trainers and my running clothes. If I'm cycling, I slip into the Lycra. Don't picture that. However, if I'm operating a chainsaw, I'm not wearing Lycra. Goggles, chaps, everything possible. Because Lycra's not good with chainsaws, I would imagine. I'm pretty sure that at some stage we've all of us, seen a marathon or seen marathon runners on a TV. And those runners, they fall into natural categories. Usually at the front, there are the elite international athletes. There's always a sprinkling of Kenyans in there, and they always seem to win. Their clothes, they're sponsored, they're top spec to ensure that they get the best results. It wicks the moisture away from their bodies. It's top end. They're desperate to win. They want to win. Then there's the next group. These are the group called the tryhards. I've named them there, and I'm sorry if anyone's a tryhard here today. They wear the best that they can afford, and they do their best to beat their own personal records, to finish well. They're of the opinion that the Kenyans are going to win it, so they're just going to do as well as they can. And then there's the next group, and these are the guys that just want to finish. This is the me group. It's a bucket list thing, you know, and when it's over, they're going to eat cakes again. And their trainers, they're only going to be used for the garden. They'll never be used for anything else again. It's that kind of thing. But then there's the guy wearing the giant tomato costume or dressed as a giant traffic cone. You've seen them. They're scary. They want to finish because they're raising money. They're usually doing it for a different reason. Their focus isn't actually on the race. It's on that reason. And they're awesome. I love them to pieces. They're very, very cool. But for us now, for this analogy, they are dressed creatively, but they're dressed really badly to compete in a race. There's too many layers. there's too much weight. And they run with unnecessary burden. I don't know how they do it. I mean, I just naturally run like that. But to have a big tomato suit, come on now. James 1:14-15 says this: temptation comes from our own desires, which entices us and drags us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. When sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. When we took communion today, we acknowledged that our sins are washed away by the sacrifice of Jesus. It is actually the most amazing thing. What a concept. What a God. It's God's gift to us that we should not be burdened by sin. We don't need to carry sinful acts or sin-related baggage with us, like battle scars. And some of us do. Some of us, you know, they carry them like trophies. Yeah, I've got rid of that sin. It's wrong. They're layers which hamper our race. They're excess layers. And we need to discard them. And we need to know that Jesus has already taken them from us as soon as we acknowledge them. As soon as we acknowledge them, they're gone. That victory is already won. Who's chosen your route? Question two, who's chosen your route? Races are planned. They have the route already marked out. And if you follow the route well, you will run the minimal distance possible. That's me. So I will know the route that I'm going to run on this triathlon. Every step, I will be cutting corners. I will be economizing. But if I ran side to side, it would take me double the time. So if I'm running from here to there, 1, 2, 3, I don't run like that, 4, 5, brilliant. But if I'm running back like this, 1, 2, 3, it could take me 4 years. This sermon will go on all day, so I won't. Hey, it was good though, slide of shoes, I love it. I can categorically tell you that without doubt, God has his hand on my life. I know it. I do fumble a little, but I'm pretty confident that I'm running the race God actually wants me to run. I can also guarantee that I'm not alone, that other people in this room can testify exactly the same way. Recently, I've just been blown away by the testimonies our missionaries have brought. I lost count of the amount of times they said that they attributed their walk, their journey, to God. They haven't been impacting the world by accident or in their own strength. They've impacted the world because they love God and they're led by God. Not all of us here, however, will hear an audible voice from God saying, do this. Not that that's what God says. Do this. Do that. I speak to loads of people who absolutely crave that encounter. They crave that, you must do this. That is the right path. They crave it. And they're looking for clear signs. Was that a sign? Was that a sign? They're looking desperately for that. But can I tell you from my own experiences? God communicates with us very clearly. But it's very rarely, rarely, in the way we want it to be or expect it to be. In Mark 8:11, the Pharisees hounded Jesus for a sign. They were on his case. Come on, do it. Give us a sign. Give us that booming voice from the heavens. But Jesus never obliged them. No, he could have. Man, could he? But he didn't. I'm not even going to give you that. Acts 9 tells us that the apostle Paul, at the time named Saul, he didn't want a sign from God. In fact, he was just happy killing Christians. And he got a huge sign. In fact, he saw Jesus. And then he didn't see again. Literally, the sign came the impact was made, and he was blinded. And his life changed dramatically. And we know he got his sight back and he changed his name, but his life changed dramatically. We need to realize that God really has already spoken, and his word is living and active. It's not a dead word. He really speaks today through the inspired word of God, through the Bible, through inspired scriptures. Our route and our direction, our race is well posted. We've got all the direction that we need. What we need to do is open it and trust it. Trust God. We also need discernment. Trusting God is everything, but also we need discernment. Proverbs 3:5-6 says this: trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything that you do, everywhere that you go. He is the one that will keep you on track. It's there, it's there, it's true, it's a promise. He is the one who will keep you on track. For our decisions to be godly, we should be discerning, and we should be discerning our decisions against the word. If what you're deciding to do is counter to what the Bible's telling you to do, man, that's not from God. It's not from God. I can tell you now, because every answer we've got is in there. And if you've got a decision and it's not counter to, it is counter to this, it's not the right decision. We also need to ensure that we're listening to other people. We should be utilizing the wise. I can tell you that I do. I make some stupid decisions. I'm bouncing off there. I'm looking for the gray area. And then the wise people in my life, they go, oh, stop, John Paul. Read it again. Look again. It's wrong. I count on those people to be my strength, to be my rock, because I'm only a man. And I need wise men to input into me. They need to be wise, but they also need to be godly men. Question 3. Why are you bothering? Wow, that's a tough question. But it's one we can't avoid, and it's one I wasn't going to shirk. I didn't want to put it. Why are you bothering? Why bother with this walk? I really didn't. And I just knew I had to. Because it takes a certain breed of person to complete a marathon. It isn't for everyone. That's why in here, there's very few of us who are actually marathon runners. Yet when we give our lives to Jesus, when we commit our lives to him, that's exactly what we're signing up to do. A long race. Becoming a Christian is tough. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to trick you. You know, it's easy being a Christian. It's great. Blessings every day. Yes, there are blessings every day. But man, it's tough. I'm not going to lie to you. Living your life conforming to what is true and right is not easy. Especially when the world around us is crumbling so badly. Morality is completely blurred. Wrong and right is clouded and gray. It shouldn't be. It should be clear and concise. Oh, but it's gray. Opinion is everything. Everyone's got an opinion. And 99% of the time, it's absolute rubbish. But people listen. It impacts people. It impacts us. We are bothering because we know. And Ray said it earlier. We know that the only hope we have is in Jesus. It's the only hope we've got. Politicians, they can't help us. Bankers, they can't help us. Massive armies, they can't help us. Only Jesus can. And he does every single day. We also know, in your hearts, as a Christian, you know that we need Jesus. Don't just want him, need him. Our friends, my friends, my family, they need Jesus. The world's shocking. The world absolutely 100% needs Jesus. And for us to run a race, for us to hit that tape and hit it well, we need clarity. We need purpose. We need focus. Jesus actually warned us in the Bible. He warned his disciples in Luke 14, 29 to 30. He said this, "For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish, everyone around who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build, but he wasn't able to finish.'" Do you know we live in a world that loves to ridicule? Loves to ridicule. Why give them the ammunition? If you're committed to being a Christian, if you love God, stand strong, walk firm, do it for God. Do it for Jesus. Do it empowered by the Holy Spirit. But please, just do it. Remember the start when we used Hebrews 12? 12:1 says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," the term cloud was a classical Greek metaphor for a large multitude of people. The word of God is rich with testimonies, which are there to keep us focus, to keep us running. The great cloud or multitude of witnesses are there in the Bible with one thing, one reason only, to keep you running. When you're crumbling, read Moses. When you're weak, read Jacob. Get in there. Read David. Get excited. Read Paul. David was talking about it a couple of weeks ago. Sunday school. Wow, we read these things. Do it, do it, do it. As an adult, get re-excited with your Bible. Get those characters in your brain. Forget your TVs. This is better. It's nothing better than reading a book. Because when you're watching the telly, and I'm deviating, but when you're watching the telly, it's there for you. You don't have to imagine anything. The blood and gore's there. The buildings falling down are there. The earthquakes, they're already there. In fact, we're so desensitized to it, it doesn't even matter anymore. We watch it so much, it doesn't even matter. But when you're reading it, when you imagine God destroying the Tower of Babel, I'm sorry, Steven Spielberg is not going to be able to depict that as well as your imagination can. Because we're wired for God. I'm sorry I deviated, but gets me. Question 4, he said confidently. Are your eyes on the prize or are they on the road? My title for this sermon is Hitting the Tape. And as I wrap up, as I conclude, I want to give you fresh inspiration, something to aspire to. What made me proud about Cheyenne's race was that with that last 100 meters to go, she could have stopped. She could have run into my arms, come off the track, run into my arms, and the dad in me was desperate for her to do that. I wanted to. I wanted to hold her. I wanted to stop her crying. But she grit her teeth, and she kept going. And everyone saw it, and everyone reacted. The crowd really did. I'm not making it up. Start cheering for her. And because of that crowd cheering for her, that cloud, she ran harder. In pain, she ran harder. And she didn't stop just before the line. She ran through the line. She crossed that line and she was in agony. Her eyes were on the prize, not the cup. Her eyes were on the prize of knowing that she'd finished. Knowing that no one could take that away from her. Her eyes weren't on the distractions on the road. The dad by the side, blubbing, "Come to me." They weren't. She knew what she wanted. Do you know what the prize is? Do you want the prize, more importantly? Or are you head down plodding? Has life got you so ground down that you're looking for the next pothole? You're missing what's ahead. You're looking down. You're looking for the next pothole that you're going to have to dodge. The prize is this: eternity in the presence of God. Eternal perfection. Enter suffering and pain. No more aching joints. No more diseases. No more illnesses. A life full of love. No anger. No hatred towards us. No hatred from us. Nothing. Just love, equality, and friendship. Yes, I want that. That's what I want. Church, are we ready for that? Yeah, we should be. It's what we want. Paul knew what the prize was, and he wanted it so badly, but not just for himself. His letters weren't all about me, you know. They were written to help people, to bring them forward, to bring them on. He was promoting the prize's availability to everyone, no matter what position they were going to finish in. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. That's what Paul wrote. He said there, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Philippians 3:14. My challenge to you is, take the test. Answer the four questions. Look at yourself. Stop looking at your neighbor, or your wife, your partner, your kids. Take your eyes off them for a second. Look at you. Answer the questions. But don't do it so you can put yourself down. There are people here who like that. They don't even realize they're doing it, but they like to put themselves down. Stop. Stop putting yourself down. There's enough people out there who want to do it for you. Stop. Don't put yourself down. This is not a negative test. Do the test to build yourself up, to edify yourself. Paul said this when he was on death row. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. Do you think he was boasting? Do you know? I reckon he was. And amen. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I've remained faithful. But he wasn't boasting for self-gratification. He was boasting for you, to be an example to you, so you can finish the race, that you can fight the good fight. You can remain faithful. Know this, and I'm talking for Pastor David. He doesn't even know I am, but I am. Know this, you are all amazing. You are all beautiful. You're all gifted. You are all powerful. And I love running this race with you. Pastor David loves running this race with you. But we can't finish this race for you. Only you can finish this race. I want to pray. Oh, boy, do I want to pray. So if I can call the worship team up, let's pray. Let's close our eyes. Lord Jesus, we love you. We love your word. Your scriptures are what control us, what guide us, what edify us. It's the stuff that builds us up. It dominates our lives. And Lord, we want more of you in our lives. We want your Holy Spirit to be inside us. We want to be held by you. We want to fight the good fight. We want to run the good race. We all want to finish strong. And today we're all at different points. I believe that there's some people here today who actually are literally first steps into the race. In fact, some of you haven't even started the race. You're actually thinking, is this the race for me? is this the team I want to join? If that's you today, can I push you? Can I give you a nudge? If that's you today, if you're sat on the fence, if you're umming and ahhing, well, today is your day. Today is the day when you go, yeah, actually, I'm ready to start. I've got my trainers on. I'm ready to run. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to be bold. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand to me and acknowledge that you want to start this race. You want to start this race well. And today, you want to step out in faith and love Jesus Christ. If that's you today, with all eyes closed and heads down, because we don't want that embarrassment, but if that's you today and you really want to make that commitment, give me a wave. Put your hand up. Be bold. Be confident today. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else today going, come on, that's me? Just a couple more seconds. Thank you. So is there anyone here today that goes, well, I'm running the race, but you know, my trainers are old and my muscles are a bit weak and I'm really struggling. If that's you today, give me a wave. Raise your hands. If you're struggling with your walk, thank you. Thank you. Bless you. There's lots of hands. Is there anyone else? Come on. Acknowledge it today. Don't be shy. Put your hand up. Acknowledge that you're doing it tough, that life isn't easy for you, and that you're not running as strong as you could or should be. I'm going to pray now for all of this. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for everything you are in our lives. Your presence is almighty. And Lord, we're praying today is a new platform for us. Today is a new stepping board, a new springboard for us in our walk, in our journey, in our marathon. We acknowledge you, that we acknowledge that we can't do this race without you. We acknowledge that we're doing this race for you and with you. We acknowledge there's potholes. We acknowledge that we're going to stumble. But we put all our hearts and all our passions in you, that you will be the person who puts the plaster on. You will be the one that goes, get up. Get up, my son. Get up, my daughter. Run hard. And when we hear that voice, when we see that sign, we acknowledge today that we're going to do it. We're going to get up. We're going to run strong. We're going to run powerfully. Lord Jesus, I bless everybody in this place today. Lord, I bless everyone that couldn't make it for different reasons. Wherever they are, I bless this church in your name. I'm confident in you, and I know when I'm blessing for you. I'm blessing and equipping people today because of you, because of your power, not mine. So today, I bless you, church. I bless you. May you walk strong. May you run hard. May you fight strong. And may you hit that running tape with me. Hit that finishing line with me. We thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen. Thank you.